Hey, curious cuties. Welcome to Curio City. I'm your host, Lauren Deleary, and today we're diving into the life and artistic journey of Annabelle Fox, a Nashville-based actress, designer, voice teacher, wife, and mama. From her roots in Connecticut to the bright lights of Broadway, Annabelle shares her experiences performing in and out of New York City, the impact of the pandemic on her life and career, and the exciting ventures she's pursuing in the vibrant Nashville scene. We explore her passion for curating beauty, honing aesthetics, and the delicate balance of family and artistic pursuits. From upcoming musical theater projects to a peek into her spiritual journey, this episode is a rich tapestry of art, passions, and the joys of raising a family. So keep listening for the heartwarming and inspiring stories that make Annabelle Fox's journey truly unique.
So Annabelle and I met long time ago
when we were,
you just described us as kids. I think that was the first time that we've said we were kids.
We were kids.
But like, honestly, we were kids.
Yeah. Well, you were
I was actually a child. we both went to Belmont. We were roommates for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So the 2 years we were on, like in a dorm, yeah. We were together.
Yes.
And yeah, I had just turned 17 the first week of college.
Like, what? I look at 17-year-olds now, I'm like,
you're a baby.
You're too young to be going to college.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure. Well, I look at teenagers and I'm like, well, I basically look at like 20-year-olds as high schoolers and I look at high schoolers as middle schoolers.
Right.
So I'm like, you're basically still a middle schooler. You're just like a little beyond whenever you're in high school. So like, how was I in college? I don't even know. Honestly, I was so naive that it kind of worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I wasn't looking to rebel. Like I behaved well.
It was funny because I was the rebel in this scenario. Yeah, like I feel like I was like the older sister who was kind of like,
you were looking,
at this,
you're like, let's go. Like, come on, let's go party.
Was such a little like party animal.
You were really outgoing. I think if we could look at it from a different perspective, like from our perspective now, we would be like, yeah, I mean, makes sense. Like you were a freshman in college.
Yeah.
I was the weird one. Like I was, but I wasn't even allowed to go anywhere. Yeah. It wasn't like I could have anyway, being barely 17.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I could go to a party. Like I literally was jailbait.
Right. And I feel like I enjoyed being able to like introduce you to things and be like, because I don't know. I mean, I had a younger sister, but I don't know. It was like, it felt like we were just having a big slumber party.
I know.
Every day.
We don't want to fool you. Annabelle tried to switch roommates.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, so like you guys are, but like there was a girl I was friends with for like one hot minute. Like literally we weren't friends after that, but like friends, and she didn't have a roommate and you're like, oh, this is a great situation. Go room with her.
Oh my gosh.
And then this girl come room with me. So she tried to trade me in,
you know,
I refused.
I've blocked that out because I don't know what was going through my head because it was like, we really were meant for each other. We always compare our relationship to like Elphaba and Glinda and Wicked.
I know. We were perfect for each other. I think we were also now having had other roommates and now we're both married. Like I look back on that time and I was like, Annabelle and I were actually really compatible living companions. Like she was studying musical theater. I was studying just music, like commercial music.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our lives got chaotic at the same time.
Yeah.
So like the room would get messy at the same time, but like not even that. We weren't that crazy messy. We would have like things on the floor. Like
we were so busy. Like I think back to college, I'm like, oh my gosh, we were nonstop and
always
busy. Gen eds freshman year. But also the fact that like you loved musical theater, that was like so special too, because you know I could come back from rehearsal or from class or seminar and like
I was like soaking it up.
You totally got it and you understood like the material we were working on and like that was really cool that we were, you know, pursuing different majors but like both understood like that passion.
Totally. Yeah. And I feel like we just understood each other's schedules and looking at other people's roommates too, like some people were really messy and like gross.
Yeah.
Like some people like would never even clean a sink, you know?
No, I know. We were young, but it's like even then we understood like the value of cleanliness and organization. And like we would, do you remember we would have like dance parties brushing our teeth?
Yeah, barely. I only remember because we recorded it.
Yeah.
And so I have the visual in my mind of us recording it one day.
Yeah.
But like, why would we
do
that?
We were so weird, but in like the best way.
And to this day, I feel like I can't brush my teeth standing still.
No, same.
Like I'm always walking around doing something. Like,
well, now my toddler does the same thing.
Does he?
Yeah. Like he won't, if we're like, okay, brush teeth. He like takes the toothbrush and like waddles around and does a little dance. I'm like, oh, well.
So it's just like built in him. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. Okay. So when we met, it was 2010. So it's been... This August will be 14 years.
That's insane. I don't think I've known anyone that long that I'm still close with. Yeah. Well, and the fact that like, I mean, there's just so much to cover, but it's such a full circle moment that we're back in Nashville together and like have these, you know, have our families and marriages, and it's so special.
I know. It really is special 14 years later, but you did move to New York. So I do want to talk about that. So you did study musical theater. Mm-hmm. You graduated having a musical theater degree.
Yeah.
Then you moved on to New York. So I want to know, tell us, because a lot of the Curious Cuties are into New York. A lot of them are very artistic, multifaceted. It's just who we are. And so I want to talk about your New York experiences and how they like affected your artistic journey now today.
So as Lauren was saying, I graduated from Belmont, moved to New York City in January 2015. Moved in with my now husband, Douglas. It was just like the most economical decision. Mm-hmm. Living in New York City, as many of you probably know, is incredibly expensive. And, you know, we were just little hustling actors. And so I moved in with him. We lived in Washington Heights, which was a wild, wild neighborhood. Lots of loud music, lots of, you know, little markets, little stands, little like street vendors, and it just was like such a
busy,
different time. Yeah. And we were walking distance from the subway, which was amazing. And so I would get on that A train at 169th Street and take it downtown to Pearl Studios off of 34th Street. And
full
this
on
was
city girl,
a full on city girl. And if you're an actor or if you're familiar with the industry at all, when I moved to New York, I was not part of a union. I was non-union. Mm-hmm. So when you're non-union, you got to go to those open calls.
Hustle.
If you want to be seen, if you want to, you know, book a job. And that's the whole name of the game when you're in New York. Obviously, you have a lot of survival jobs. I was a babysitter. That was my main source of income, which is actually a pretty good job in New York City.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love kids. So it was really fun for me. But I would audition in the morning and then I would go to work. Yeah. And so I would get up some mornings 5 a.m. and then I would walk, and you know, it'd be dark, it'd be cold. Audition
season.
It's
physically draining.
It's so tiring. Yeah. Well, it's like, I imagine doing that now at 32 and I'm like, there's no way. But so it's like, I moved when I was young. Yeah. So I had the stamina.
Go to New York in your 20s.
Go to New York when you're young. And when you have that like amazing fiery drive, like I will give myself credit for the fact that I like never gave up. Like I really hustled.
Mm-hmm.
And musical theater is inundated with people. It's even more competitive now, but there are so many more women in the industry than men.
Of course.
And so it's like, I would go to these auditions and the room would be mostly filled with women. Girls.
So you're like,
girls.
How do I stand out here?
Yeah. So yeah, you're like, how do I stand out? How do I make a point? And you know, what song do I choose? It was just like such a different world, but I did it. And I actually, I booked a lot of work in New York City. One of my big equity jobs that I booked was the national tour of Junie B. Jones. And I booked Junie B. Jones, the lead, little TheaterWorks USA tour, which is a theater for young audiences show. And it toured, the States for 6 months while I was engaged, planning our wedding, which I also look back, I'm like, what were we thinking? You know,
why do you feel that way?
Well, planning a wedding from the road in motels.
Been there, done that
twice.
Kind
of cray-cray. That's true. Oh yeah. We have that in common. Yeah. We just like to multitask, I guess.
But we know we have to get, here's the thing. We knew we had to get married at a time when we weren't in a show or not in a tour.
Right.
So it's like you have to plan it when you are on tour so that as soon as that tour is done, you can get married.
Yeah, you can take a break.
That's like what that's
with your
about. Yeah. So in planning it, your whole wedding and doing things and touring around and not being home.
Yeah.
It's very actually common.
It's character building. It is character building. And also like I think that cultivating those skills has played a big part in who I am now and like jobs that I've worked since then and
for sure.
Also in the city. But yeah, that was my big like first equity job and it was a tour and then got my equity card and then it made a lot easier to be seen at auditions because once you have your equity card, then you can, you know, book appointments for these equity contracts, equity theaters.
Which you're not so much a drop in the ocean.
Yes. Yeah. And you get a little bit more priority. Yeah. I was also able to be considered for more like leading roles at these regional theaters. And I actually booked an equity leading role at a theater from an open call, which is also kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. It was Magnolia and Showboat. But yeah, it was a wild time.
It's amazing. So how do you feel like the time in New York has like affected you now being in Nashville? Like, do you feel that New York life still is a part of you or do you feel like that's gone, moved on?
I feel like, well, the way that we left the city, I guess I should mention, is it was so unceremonious. My husband and I lived there for almost 6 years. Okay. Actually, Doug was there for
that
7.
Long? Wow. Yeah. I didn't even realize.
And then I was there for like 5.5, 6 years. And we were there at the height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And as we all know, the industry just stopped. Yep. And we were like, okay, we either keep plugging along with no industry available to us or we move elsewhere. And we had always talked about coming back to Nashville.
Yeah.
We'd always talked about starting a family here. Mm-hmm. We never really envisioned starting a family in New York City.
Yeah.
New York City was very much like our season of pursuing theater and kind of like getting as...
Your hustle years.
Yeah. Getting as much into our like... theater, acting career and craft as we could to really like get some momentum going. And we had so much momentum going and then the pandemic happened and it was like, oh my God, like all of this for, it felt like all of this for nothing.
Yeah.
But the silver lining is that we ended up back here. And we love it here. We absolutely love it here. But I think that the one thing that I miss the most is probably like just like the pedestrianness of the city, you know, like walking everywhere, walking to a coffee shop. Like I loved that. And like, we do live close to a park, but it's like nothing like, I don't know, like Central Park or, you know, even in our neighborhood, we lived in Inwood for several years and it's just this beautiful park uptown and we could walk to the park. We could walk to the farmer's market. Like it was just, it just felt so, like,
storybook.
Yeah. Like a movie kind of. So it was a really, really special time. And so I think like living here, we definitely seek out opportunities or like experiences that are similar.
Yeah.
I love just like cultivating like cool, I don't know, experiences. I've always been like that kind of, I guess, but, it's been really special getting to bring Ollie to New York. My parents still live in Connecticut. So it's a really nice way to kind of stay connected to our friends in New York. And, anytime we go to Connecticut, we always make it a point to go to New York City too. So I think there's like a, there's probably like another season where we'll be in New York City.
So?
I'm going to just like put it out there.
Yeah.
But I think this is our home base. But I think like, you know, New York City is always going to be a part of who we are. And I don't know.
Maybe it'll be a part of whenever you have your next chapter in New York, whatever that will be.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be our season in New York too. Because like, I feel like I...
Let's go
need
together.
To have a season in New York. Well, even if it's not New York, which I do love, I feel like what you were just talking about, like the walkability and just like happen uponness that happens in New York is just so magical. And it's so me and Adam as well. Yeah. Like we just love that kind of thing. We love local
spontaneous
things and spontaneous. Mm. Like yesterday we literally went on a little rendezvous around our city and just went to these shops that are newer that have opened around us. Mm-hmm. And we're like, let's make a day of it. And then we would like park somewhere and walk, which we're like walking from parking lot to parking lot. So it's not like the same sort of experience, but like we try to make it like that.
You romanticize the
we
moment.
Do. Yeah. Oh my God. We romanticize and we're like walking over like oil spills and like whatever.
Isn't it a beautiful oil spill?
I guess that's kind of New York as well. Yeah. It's like not every part's going to be like gorgeous and beautiful. There's, you know, a lot of mess.
When I think
chaos.
Like, you know, it's like looking back, I'm like, I remember a lot of the beautiful moments, you know, there were some really hard moments too, but it's like,
well, the grass is always greener for sure.
True.
Yeah. And the subway and like all that. Do you miss that? Or do you like, are you glad that's behind you?
I think I, now that I have the experience of like getting in the car and like easily putting Ollie in a car seat and like going grocery shopping and like,
oh my God, I can't imagine touting around a kid on the subway.
No, Douglas and I would make it a whole event to go grocery shopping. We would go to Aldi in the Bronx from our Inwood apartment. We would walk there. We were like, let's make it a whole thing. So grocery shopping was like a whole day. Whereas here it's like a 15 minute experience, but we would like walk to Aldi. Then we would get our bags. Then we would take the little like shuttle bus back to our apartment. But we would have all these bags. I mean, it was like a full on workout. We were like each holding like four bags each. I'm like, what are we doing to save a buck? You know,
that is crazy. Like, truly.
We were committed.
That is a commitment. I mean, yeah, that's the thing that keeps me, because I already hate grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's Instacart. I already use Instacart.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it's I would just fine. Do in New York. Be like Instacarting everything.
You just eat out every meal.
The dream. Okay. So then how did that impact your career? So you were doing musical theater, like hustling, auditioning. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like for you now in Nashville?
Yeah. So I didn't even mention this, but my husband, well, you know all of this, but you guys know this.
Tell the cuties.
So Douglas, who I met at Belmont, Lauren literally was like one of the first people to meet him.
I had front row seats to the development of this relationship.
Yeah. It's a whole like beautiful story. But he wrote a musical called Johnny and the Devil's Box, and it's a bluegrass musical. It's been in the works for almost a decade, and wrote it in New York City around like 2017. So about a year after we were married. Mm-hmm. And no, even before that, because it's been like 10 years. So like 2015, I guess.
Oh, wow.
It was starting to kind of like the wheels idea. Were turning. Yeah. And right before the pandemic, we had three different productions, three different theaters that were connected to it, attached to it. And one of which was really big, like a pre-Broadway theater.
Yeah.
And so we just felt like, oh my gosh, this is the peak of our career. Because, you know, in the industry, you know, you audition for jobs, but then the ultimate dream is to create your own outlet and create your own opportunity. So Douglas wrote a role for himself in which he plays the fiddle, and also he's the lead actor. And then he also wrote a role for me, which was really generous of him. And so we got to play opposite each other in this show. We were just like waiting for the opportunity to get to do a full production of it. And the pandemic happens. All of those opportunities are just canceled. And so in that moment, you're like, what?
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Like, what are we supposed to do? So it really did feel like our careers were just like paused, and like, it was so sad. And we had to kind of like pick ourselves back up. And, you know, we quarantined in Connecticut with my parents for 5 months, kind of picked up the pieces, reassessed. As I mentioned, we were like, well, we've always talked about coming back to Nashville. We moved back to Nashville. The industry is like slowly picking up. I get connected with an agent here through a friend, through a referral. And I actually started doing a lot of like TV film commercials when I first moved back here, which was really cool because I was primarily focused on musical theater in New York, and then got to kind of dip my toes in that.
You put on a little bit of a different hat when you got here. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. And then I've since, you know, doing more of that, I've also done like PA stuff and art department for some film stuff. So that's been really cool to kind of just exercise all the different aspects of
learning a lot.
Yeah. Learning a lot. And so I think that's informed like how I am as an actress too, and like opportunities that I pursue. And I'm now as a mom, I'm like extra selective with opportunities because, you know, it's time away from him,
or of course
a lot more to juggle and balance with Douglas and our schedules. But there is a really great niche theater community here. And so now that things are kind of back to normal, like I've definitely been auditioning for those, and I'm doing a show in the spring. So I feel like it's been a really big, like full circle moment. And Douglas and I also finally got our opportunity, which Lauren was a part of. She photographed our regional premiere of Johnny the Devil's Box last, or was it 2 years ago? 2022 fall.
Yeah. It wasn't this past December. Yeah, it was December like, before that.
Yeah. And we finally got to do Johnny, and it was an absolute magical dream come true. And I was 5 months postpartum, which if you had told me when I was, you know, in my 20s, by the way, you're going to have a baby, and then 5 months later, you're going to originate Abigail King and your husband's musical premiere, I'd be like,
what a dream.
No way.
What a dream.
It was amazing.
Oh, so, yeah. That is such a magical time of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad, like I'm honored, obviously, to be a part of it. I feel like I've been a part of a lot of those special moments. So
yeah, you have. Lauren's been like our milestone photographer and just like biggest cheerleader and
of
the
course,
best.
I gotta be front row. It's me. I'm just like, hey, I'm always just making a role for myself to be there. I'm like, I can do photos. I can do this. I can do that.
Like I can do whatever you want to be.
Let me just be a part. For sure. Okay.
So
well,
cute.
I mean, you are super multifaceted. Aww. Like you do a lot of things. I mean, you're into design. You're into obviously musicals and acting, and there's just so many things that you do. Do you find like there's a way to have balance in all that and like integrating all the various artistic expressions that you have?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm like every day it feels different. You know, you can relate to that. Like I feel like when you're a professional freelancer, that's sort of what I like to call myself. Like every day looks different. And so balance is like the hardest thing to find. But I think when I feel the most balanced and the most like happy, it's when I am creative. And so like I make it a priority to find those opportunities and to make it work. And so like right now I'm coordinating a wedding in June and we're preparing for some camps that we're directing for musical theater. And I teach voice part-time. And then I also am a mom and I'm also preparing for a show. So it's like, I think each one I kind of compartmentalize in a way where it's like, okay, like this morning, let me do some admin stuff for wedding, this wedding that's coming up. Or like once Ollie's doing his nap, I'm like, okay, let me memorize these sides for this audition that I have due on Friday. You know, it's like, I think I kind of, but
do you
I like
write your
that.
To-do list like the night before, the morning of? Like, well, how do you do that?
I feel like I'm doing them all the time.
Like, just like writing it down as it comes to you.
Yeah, like I love my list. I've always loved my list, but even more so now, it's like, there's so much satisfaction in checking something off the list.
Totally.
I feel like I've become more type A as I've gotten older.
You kind of have to.
Yeah.
Just to manage your time.
Have to. But yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. I think like just compartmentalizing and like prioritizing those things that fulfill me creatively.
Yeah. No, that's so good. Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Anytime that I'm like really focusing, I'm putting out creative things, I feel really inspired. It's like, it doesn't really matter other people's opinions or praise or anything like that. I feel like it really just boils down to, for me, when I feel like I'm creating something.
1,000%. When even like in this day and age with social media and like content creation, it's like I find a lot of joy too from like creating, you know, beautiful content and like curating an aesthetic, which, you know, I think we have that in common.
Yeah.
Like I love like hosting little like gatherings and like things that are a theme and just like, I don't know. It's so much more than just social media to me, you know, it's like, that's a creative outlet in and of itself.
I completely agree. And I feel like a lot of people actually don't see it like that and don't feel that way. And I feel, I hear a lot of like negative conversations about social media because people feel like the pressure to do this. And I'm not gonna lie. Like there are times that I've been like discouraged by whatever social media, or I'll get in my head about something. But
yeah,
for the most part, it's like part of my creative process. Like I have always enjoyed like documenting something. I mean, it makes sense. Again, going back to us being roommates, like we recorded things on our little webcam and like, what for? Nothing. Like
photo booth.
Yeah.
Like photo booth. With like the weird effects.
Yes.
Right.
Like it was just, why were we doing
natural
that?
To
just,
us.
It was just fun. It was just funny to like document something, come up with an idea and just do it and just be stupid. Like,
well, and that takes a lot of like confidence.
Yeah.
Like I look back, I'm like, oh, we were really confident even as like kids, you know, as you were saying, like to follow through with something like a photo shoot or like, I don't know. It just, and that I feel like we're very much the same in that sense. Of course we've changed a lot and evolved, but like that same mentality of like, if you want something, go do it and like go create it, go like follow through. And that's like so important as artists and creatives to just like believe that you can do something and make it.
Clip it.
Look at this podcast. I mean, hello.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, it's one of the things that, I mean, it's my top thing right now. That's like my favorite creative outlet. I love having conversations. Yeah. I mean, if this podcast just stays as it is forever and just, I'm just having conversations, I'm great with that. Like, it's, I want to grow it. Like I want to build an empire, of course, but at the same time, it's, you know, people ask you like, what's something that you could do, you know, if you never made any money or if you, whatever, I'm like, I love podcasting and I do love content creation. So it's like those two things. It's just using using my voice and my face, like to be able to communicate conversations and just to create something awesome with other people. Like that collaboration is just so fun for me.
Well, and you're elevating other voices, which is a really cool, it's a really cool opportunity. It's really, really cool.
Okay, so I do want to talk about your the upcoming new musical theater stuff that's happening in Nashville.
Yes.
So obviously, there's things that I don't even really know about. So you're gonna have to tell me.
Okay.
So yeah, like what are you in? What's coming up? Like what's going on in the Nashville musical theater world?
Yes, so much. Like I think that you know people look at Nashville, they're like, oh, it's Music City, you know, obviously lots of country music, lots of line dance, lots of bachelorette parties.
Which that's true. It does exist, but I'm a radio host and I don't play country. And it's like people always expect that.
The association.
If you're in Nashville, then you're, somehow you're doing some sort of country thing.
That is funny.
No, I happen to be in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I do music.
That is fun. Yeah, it's funny how it's like just become such a stereotype.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, musical theater does exist here, and there are a lot of amazing musical theater writers that just, you know, either haven't pursued opportunities to really like share their voices, share their work, or they're just like aren't really that many platforms to promote their work.
Yeah.
And Douglas and I are so passionate about that, especially with our experience, you know, working on Johnny the Devil's Box and being a part of other new works. So we started a collective called New Musical Theater Nashville. And it is, a collective that meets, it's supposed to meet monthly, and it's an opportunity to basically share new work, keep each other accountable, just connect with other artists and creatives and composers, and, you know, support new work. And so I'm producing a concert of these artists.
Oh my gosh.
And we're going to be hearing some new music.
So is it like a listening, or sorry, like a songwriter round of musical theater?
Yeah, it is kind of like that. Okay. And it'll be at Vanderbilt in the Neely Auditorium.
Okay.
And there's 10.
Wow, like it's official.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's free.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Free.
Wow.
But it's the first of its kind. And so, you know, this is just kind of like, it's like the guinea pig, right?
Okay,
so we'll see how it goes.
Sure.
But we just wanted to create this opportunity for composers to have their music, you know, stand on its own.
So and specifically for musical theater composers, like writers who are,
that are based here
original.
In Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of them have workshops that they've done, you know, elsewhere regionally or have mounted some of their shows like at different theaters, but it's just a really cool like opportunity and way to network and meet other composers and just to support each other because it can be kind of a lonely business where it's like, okay, like,
well,
why
especially in Nashville, because you kind of feel like you're one in a million.
Yeah.
Or like you're kind of, or not one in a million, but you feel like you're the only one.
Yeah.
Well, you're
exactly.
Like, who else is doing this?
Yeah. And it's like writing a show is such a labor of love because you're not getting paid for it. You're not even sure if you're moving in the right direction or like if people will like it. And so when you're affirmed in that way, it is like so rewarding and it keeps
going,
you know, it keeps that momentum. Like I said before,
that is so good. I love that. And I remember whenever that was like a baby idea in y'all's brains, like a while ago.
I was literally pregnant when it first started.
Makes sense.
So Oliver has been along for the ride.
I'm so excited for you. That's amazing. I'm so glad that this is like happening because there really is an empty space for that right now.
Yeah.
And you guys are the perfect people to be like heading that up and to be like taking charge. Cause well, first of all, you guys have your own musical. So it makes sense, but it's like, you know, whenever you create something, you want that community and you want to be able to lift other people up to be able to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're kind of working on something similar in the podcast world. Mm-hmm. So it's like, once you get into it and you know what you're doing, it's like passing the torch.
Totally.
It's like being able to shine a light on other people. But like you also mentioned, you're creating, how did you say it? Like you're creating your own yourself an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like writing in your own opportunities, making your own opportunities in that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a smart way to think. Mm-hmm. Like for anyone else listening, who's like, you have like a creative career or outlet or hobby or anything that you feel like you're starting to get a hang of, I feel like being able to focus on other people and like bringing them up with you is like the best ticket to success.
Yes.
Because like attracts like, and you are creating that opportunity for yourself at the same time as giving it to other people. So anyway,
oh my gosh, preach.
Kudos to that. Yeah. I love that like mentality for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. Now, being passionate about curating beautiful things and honing an aesthetic, which we talked about, you love a theme. I love a theme. Like we both did Galentine's parties, which is just so funny. Like again, there's so many things that Annabelle and I are similar in, even though in college, maybe at first we thought we were so opposite, but really we're so alike. Yes. It's just in that season of our lives, we were coming, we were, just so different.
We just like, was like, we were on different like ends of the spectrum.
We were on different pages.
And then we like slowly came together. And
then we were like, oh, we're twins.
Yeah, no, literally. And then like, I just think it's always really special and cool. And we've talked about this so much, but like in friendships, like, you know, you have seasons where you're really close and then you like have time away just because of like a move or just like life or whatever. And like you and Adam, I mean, the fact that like you just opened your arms up, like, so big when Douglas and I were like, we're moving back here.
Yeah,
it's just been so special. And like, we just appreciate you guys so much and appreciate your friendship. And
Well, we love you guys. And yeah, when you were in New York, I was on tour. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wouldn't have even been around in Nashville anyway. It was just like,
it's crazy.
All meant to be that way. But anyway, so going back to Annabelle being, she loves curating and like aesthetic. Mm-hmm. I saw you were like going to be doing your Easter things, like do Easter. You're like, I don't want to take down Valentine's. And trust me, I get it. Like, you still see my pink stuff all around me. I'm like, I need it to stay.
It's so girly. I love it.
I know. I love the little girly aesthetic
right now.
But okay, so how do these aspects influence your creative projects, both, you know, in design and performance?
Yeah. Well, I think I also think being a mom now plays into it more than ever because, you know, in New York, I loved photo shoots and I would collab with a lot of photographers and I would sort of bring like a theme to the table. Like I did a photo shoot in New York City. It was like out of office. And so it was like super fun, vibrant colors and sort of played it out like, oh, I'm on vacation, those vibes. And then I did another one that was like preppier. And then I did one that was like kind of businessy, but like a little bit more sultry. So I've played, I mean, it goes along with acting, right?
It's like all different roles. You're playing a role,
And so I think that part of me has sort of continued, especially like in producing and stuff. Like I did a concert of Little Women and I loved that cottagecore prairie aesthetic. And that honestly feels like the closest to who I am.
Yeah.
I'm very much like Anna Green Gables meets Little Women meets, I don't even know. I love like prairie vibes. And especially now in Nashville and Franklin, we're based in Franklin. It's just so,
it's your take
cute
on country.
And cozy. Yeah, it's my take on country. It's like a Connecticut girl's take on country for sure.
Yeah.
And so I think
there's your slogan.
There you go. Like that, carrying that over and like continuing to do photo shoots with my family and now having a kid, like now with different holidays and things. Like I never used to decorate for Valentine's Day. Like I didn't, or even Easter, but now with a kid, and especially he's almost two, so everything
he's starting
is
to remember
magical. Yeah, and so like he notices and like he likes doing these projects with me. And so I think that plays into it too, where it's like, I've always loved curating like a theme or a vibe, but now with him, it's like, he really notices.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited for Easter. Like, I don't really know what the projects will be yet, but
they'll come to you.
Yeah. I'm excited.
You've been making things out of like what, Trader Joe's bags?
Oh my
and
gosh.
Stuff?
Yes. So yeah, at Christmas time, I was so inspired by like the Trader Joe's bags had really cute little like villages on them. I was like, you know what? You know, I had like a glass of red wine. I was like, what if I turned this into a cute little banner? And I cut out the little houses and it was so cute.
It was so cute.
It ended up being like a really fun little project. And then for Valentine's Day, I was like, well, I've used these bags before. Let me make them into something else. And I traced out a bunch of hearts and Oliver kind of helped me paint them.
Yeah.
And then made it into a little garland. And it's just like stuff like that where I'm like, if I was, you know, a kid, like I think growing up with something magical like that would be so fun. You know, like my parents were so creative and it's like, you just want to give your kids everything.
Yeah.
And like, it seems so small, but it's like memories and, you know, photos and
that's the stuff they like remember. I mean, that's the stuff we remember, you know, the little special crafts and like the moments that our parents like took some time out of the day to like make something with us or create with us. And again, that maybe that goes back to why we love creating.
Exactly.
You know, those are the moments that like stood out to us. And like, you know, we had a little art room growing up. And so I always like I loved our art room. I loved like painting on the wall. I loved like tracing outlines of papers. Yeah. And I don't know, it's just, yeah, that creative, fun experience along now with your kid.
Yeah. It's wild.
It's like, it's so much more rewarding to be doing that stuff. It already is fun for you, but now you're like, it's almost like there's a purpose beyond just your personal pleasure. Totally. It's like, it just elevates it to a whole nother level.
Oh, totally. Well, and even with like Instagram, like reels and like photos, a lot of it is like, you know, to cultivate like a feed, right? Yeah. Or like an aesthetic. But for me, it's like literally a digital scrapbook because I am so bad at printing out photos and like keeping a baby book. You know, I was so good the first 12 months and now I'm like, wah! And so I look back on Instagram, you know, and it won't be there forever, but like, I love being able to look back and be like, oh my gosh, this is what we did, you know, when he's 6 months old and like this photo shoot was so special. So it's like, it's so much more than just
I feel like it photos. Is though. It's it's like the new version of like uploading Facebook
it's like
albums.
A scrapbook. Yeah. Literally.
Okay. I do want to talk a little bit about how you were raised Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. So that you were raised that way. And then you went to like church hopping in college a little bit. And then later you connected with God in the city. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really intriguing. So how has your spiritual journey influenced your approach to life and art?
Ooh, that's such a good question. So I grew up Episcopalian, like you mentioned, and grew up going to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. My dad was a worship leader in the church. And so I loved going to church,
you
obviously.
You were very involved,
yeah. I was really involved. You know, we go to Vacation Bible School every summer. It was like the highlight of my summer. I loved it, you know, I'm so social. So I loved all the kids in church. And I loved worship music, like I obviously because my dad was a worship leader, and so I always felt really close to God through music, which again makes sense because I'm a singer and artist, and that feels the most natural, right? And then through high school, you know, we have our ups and downs with just like identity and wanting to fit in, and so in high school I felt very much like I wanted to be two different versions of myself. Mm-hmm. One was the good, you know, churchgoer. I went to youth group. I loved my friends in youth group and at church and was obviously still going every Sunday. I was singing at church. And then there's high school and you also want to fit in and like go to the parties and like fit in. And so I felt very like there was a lot of push and pull with like, who am I? And like, I know God loves me, you know, regardless, but like, who am I? And, also, you know, as an actress and performing, like that became my priority. It wasn't like church became less and less something that I like sought out, I guess. And then in college, I wasn't going to church every Sunday. It was like kind of more on the back burner, but Belmont was a Christian school loosely. And so actually, you were the one that was like, come to church with me. And so that's how I discovered Ethos, which was incredible. And I felt like I kind of reconnected with God through that church. And it was like a really, really special time. And also just met a lot of amazing people.
We started getting close, I feel like, we started going together.
We did. We got closer, I think, when we were both going to Ethos because
we felt like we found our first common ground.
Yeah.
And then it really kind of blossomed from there.
Yeah. And that's really special that it was through church. Yeah. You know? And so then I moved to New York and was just so busy and honestly was like babysitting or working on Sundays. So
you're like, I'm sorry, I'm hustling.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, I'm too busy babysitting. and so it once again, it just like was such a like up and down, up and down, up and down. And I think, you know, regardless of how often you go to church or how often you sit with your Bible, like in my experience, I've always felt really close to God with just throughout life in terms of like faith and trust. Like I'm so glad that I was introduced to him at a young age because I've never doubted that like someone loved me. Mm-hmm. And I've never doubted that like things will be okay.
Yeah.
And I think in theater, it is such an uncertain, unpredictable career in the arts. It's just, it's all so unpredictable. And so the things that got me through those like really difficult times in New York, it was absolutely God and absolutely faith and trust and believing in a higher power and like knowing that when one door closes, another one opens.
Totally.
And even as difficult as it was, like having things just canceled and shut down and rejection, you know, in theater, it's like you're mostly rejected. And then when you book, it's like one in a thousand, you know, or one in a million, it feels like. So I feel really lucky that like I've had such a strong, such strong trust and like palpable like faith throughout all of this, regardless of like how often I've gone to church or, you know, what my relationship has maybe looked like on the outside. Like I know that Jesus loves me. And
this I know.
This I know.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like it does. Having trust in something bigger, you know, especially when you're going through something like, you know, hustling in New York and then feeling like, dealing with even like rejection or feeling like the pandemic like took everything out, like having something that you can like fall back and trust on is... So helpful.
Important. Yeah.
So how do you navigate the demands of motherhood and maintaining a vibrant creative career?
Wow. I have to give credit to my in-laws. I mean, first to Douglas, because he's the most supportive. Like he,
whenever, he's also a creative.
He's also a creative. So that also creates, some, you know, it can sometimes be chaotic. Like our schedule can sometimes be chaotic. Like he's done a ton of shows this past year, which has been incredible. But a lot of the times, like I've been solo parenting, you know, or hanging out with Ollie for these long hours. And, you know, motherhood is amazing. And babies and toddlers, like they're incredible. But it can get really lonely. Like as much as you love your kid, like, you know, Oliver's like kind of chatting. It's still baby gibberish, but it's like, I can't really have a conversation with him still. So like those parts are hard, but then when the creative opportunities come, like my Douglas has always been the first one to be like, oh, we'll make it happen. And like, I can do this or I can start this lesson later or like I can be home. I can watch Ollie. You have to go do this. Or like I did a work trip when Oliver was like 5 months old when I was working for someone and he was like, you have to go. And I was in New York City for 2 days and Oliver was like, my baby. So you just pursue the things that make you happy and the things that make sense for your career and the things that are going to fill you up as a human. Because at the end of the day, like those things make you a better mom, a better partner, a better person. But my in-laws also have been incredible because Douglas and I both are really busy right now, especially as I rev up for this show that I'm about to start in the spring. They're going to be with Oliver a lot, but I'm honestly like, I'm so grateful that they are here in Nashville. They kind of followed us here, which is incredible. Yeah. And they are amazing with Oliver. And it's so nice to be able to just trust them and know that he's thriving and
it's amazing.
Feels so comfortable with them. It's been incredible. And it's been really special to see how our like dynamic has evolved, you know, and trust again is just so incredibly important. And I'm so glad that I trust them so much and they trust us, you know?
Right.
So, but like between, supportive partner, like in-laws being incredibly caring and doting and available, that's sort of how we've made it possible. And I think also being selective with opportunities because there have been other things that have come up that I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool to do. Or like, maybe I should audition for that. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't really know if it's worth
your time
away from my son, you know.
Your time is very valuable.
It's
now.
Really valuable. And like, even when I do have jobs that, you know, sometimes take up my whole day, like last week I was doing a recording session and then I went and taught and I wasn't with Oliver for like 2 full days, essentially. Like I miss him. Like it's so good for me to have that time of like, oh yeah, I am like
a human being outside of this.
Like I'm making an income. Like I'm pursuing things that are, you know, good for my family, like good for income and making money and career moves. But
you're being there for him in other ways.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, it's good though for you to be able to miss him.
Yes, it is. It is.
You
it's
need
healthy.
That.
Yes. It is.
I mean, even with Adam and I, we always talk about how even with us, like we need time apart. Now we have a lot of time apart. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
So, but I do feel like that's when I hear that people like couples are fighting or whatever. I'm like, well, have you, first of all, there's two different like schools of thought here. I'm like, first of all, have you gotten time? Are you guys on top of each other? Like, are you with around each other too much? Cause some people like are like both freelancing, working from home, or they both work from home remote, or they're working together or whatever it is. And it's like, get off of each other. Yeah. Like you need to get in different spaces. Some space. Somebody needs to leave. And then on the other side of it is like, have you taken time to be like with them intentionally?
That
which
is
can be the same
so,
situation, but like intentional time. Like you can be around somebody and it's like, you know, you just don't even notice that they're hardly there or you're just like going about your own business.
You're just like scrolling.
You're just scrolling, doing
not
whatever.
Yeah.
But like intentional time it's is so everything. Important. And I think even with your son, it's that way too. It's like you can be around, you could be taking care of him, feeding him, whatever. It's like you could be doing that, but maybe perhaps like time away makes you think about the intentional time that you want to have with him when you like get back together with him. Like, let's do this craft together.
Yeah.
Or like, let's make something together, like very intentional. And I think that's important. Yeah. So, and I think that time away helps you like see it.
It like helps you kind of reset. Like, okay, like too much time on the phone or like less screen time. Like let's do something. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm sure you have been able to, you've found yourself when it's been days and days and days of just you and Oliver, when you're like, okay, I'm like on my phone because like, I need a break from him. You know, I need a, we both need breaks from each other.
Yes.
Cause it's not just the mom with the kid. It's
the kid needs,
the kid needs time
needs
away from people
too.
As well.
Yeah.
So it's like, it definitely is all comes down to that intentional, that intentional time together.
And
I
then
think.
In marriage too, like it's, especially with a kid now, it's like, you know, all of our time is basically towards Oliver, like talking about what he needs, what like his schedule, like who wants to put him down, what is he having for this meal? Like at the end of the day, it's so important to like get off your phone, like stop watching TV and just talk to each other and like reconnect.
Yep.
So yeah, like being intentional about dates and stuff, we've really tried to be more like consistent with that because it forces you to get out of the house, off the couch and like just take a second for each other because that is also going to help you be better parents.
Yeah. I'm sure having the in-laws who help you a lot,
they're amazing.
You have to like go out of your way to be like, hey, can you help me? But this time for my own pleasure.
Yeah.
Because they help you with career and work stuff when you're like, I have to go to this or I need to go to this. Can you watch him? But then there's like, it's almost more vulnerable to ask when you're like, hey, I would like to just go out with my husband to something. And it's like, hey, could you like watch whatever? And it's like, yeah, they're happy to.
I was so happy. But yeah,
it's almost more vulnerable.
Yeah.
You feel like,
or even
am
like,
I allowed?
If Douglas is working, I'm like, I really want to get coffee with a friend without like a toddler potential meltdown or like running around a cafe. Like, can you? And I don't take them up on that as much as I should. It's always like work stuff or, you know, seeing a show or whatever. So
I'm sure. Yeah. I can imagine that
it's a big
balancing. Like you feel like guilty, even though they're happy to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what advice do you have for aspiring artists, especially those pursuing musical theater, based on your experiences and lessons learned?
Oh my gosh. Okay, I think the biggest thing I would say is allow yourself to change. Allow yourself to evolve. Like, don't put yourself in a hole or in a box. What do you say? In a box. I think that in college programs, it's really easy to receive a certain type or be told you're always going to play this role. This is what you do. You're always going to do this. And that is helpful. And it's great knowledge to have when you go out into the world.
Self-awareness
is everything in performance. But I think it's really easy to like disregard other roles or disregard other opportunities because you're so like keen on this one thing that you've been told.
You don't shoot your shot because you're like, well, I'm not that.
Exactly.
Like, I'm this. I'm the ingenue.
You
I'm
can
this.
Be,
I'm the
you
whatever.
You can be whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. And like that is, that's what I've learned. That sounds so cliche, but like,
no, that's great.
You can be whatever you want. And like, it wasn't until I started really believing that, that's when I started getting these like callbacks and offers for things that were not just like the young quirky role or like the supporting friend role. Like, no, it's for like leads because if you believe that you can do it, you can, you really can do it. And I think also having like a really supportive partner, supportive friends, like mm-hmm. people that see you as more than just one thing. Like we were saying, like multifaceted, it yeah. plays into performance, it plays into roles, it plays into like just who you are day to day. So yeah. I think, yeah, you can be more than what a person tells you in the industry.
That is so good. Like I want that on repeat because that's yeah. true. That's very true. I from the musical theater time that I did have, like, yeah, being told like I'm this character and then only looking for that specific things. And really that applies to so much mm-hmm. in life.
Oh,
and
yeah.
just, you know, constantly trying to break free of the box that I put myself in, you know, that I allow others to just make one little side remark about who I am. Like, oh, I'm edgy. Oh, I'm this. Oh, yeah. I'm, you know, whatever it is. And like, oh, I'm that.
Yeah.
And you know, like we've had conversations like this before, but in college is when I was really, really, really struggled with that big time.
Yeah.
Cause I felt like I had to measure up to the expectations of what other people had for me. And this wasn't like even a performance way. It wasn't like, you know, I have to be the smartest or anything like that, or the best singer. It wasn't even that. It was characteristics about myself. Like, was she funny? Was she loud? Was she quiet? Was she bookish? Was she like, what, you know, those tiny little details that maybe one person said in passing. And I'm like, oh, I need to like show up as that around that person. And it's draining.
Can be really crippling. Yeah.
It's exhausting. It's crippling. Mm. It's like you stunt yourself mm-hmm. from growing into who you want to grow into or can grow into.
Yeah.
And also having seasons, because we can all have seasons of being certain things and then being like, okay, that era's done.
Yeah.
Or I'm on to the next era and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like we are just so inundated with this idea that, especially now with like, you know, Instagram bios and things like describing mm-hmm. ourselves, that we're so
and like
obsessed.
Two words.
Right.
Like, what? How like, is that even possible?
Like I'm a whole complex human being. Mm-hmm. Like how are we able to describe who we are, what we do, what we believe in, what we're passionate about, and these tiny little boxes, and then also like feel like what we choose in that tiny little box we have to represent as online in every way that we show up, and then also in real life.
Yeah, it's
that's so 2D. Like it's mm-hmm, not real. That part of social media, I will say, that's not real life. Like we are so much more than just this 2D version of, you know, I do this, I help people do this, and I have this, you know, accolades.
Right.
Like we're so much more,
than that. Yeah.
And I think going back to what you said, to people who are specifically choosing to go down like a musical theater route, I think that's such good advice. I think learning and hearing like what you may appear as at first, right? Like, that's good.
Yeah.
Self-aware. It's good to know what you can lean into.
Right.
Easy.
Yes.
You know, what comes easier to you or what somebody sees you as. That's great. That's a great first step. But that's just the first step.
And also like, if you're in this for the long haul, you're going to change.
You're going to have to.
You're going to change.
Yeah.
Your voice is going to change.
True.
Your body's going to change.
True.
Your ideas about life are going to change. I mean, I would hope so. I feel like that's growth, right?
Yep.
So yeah, growth mindset, like not saying this is it. Like this is what I'm going to do. This is what I do. Like always thinking, okay, like I can do this and I can do this and I can do this and I can be this and I can do this, because then you can do it all. You can have it all. I was having this conversation with someone the other day. Like, I think there's this unrealistic expectation that you can have it all. And then there's like this realistic expectation that you actually can have it all.
Mm-hmm.
If you prepare, if you have that, if you have a healthy mindset about it.
Yeah.
And if you're organized.
Right.
And if you plan, like you really, you can.
Yep.
And like, I feel so blessed that like, I really feel like right now I have it all. Like, and it's like things that I have manifested, I've prayed for, like things that I have hoped my life would look like, you know, does it look different than what I maybe thought when I was first in New York City auditioning? Yeah, it looks completely different, but it's like, I feel just as successful.
Mm.
And I think that's something else with theater. It's like Broadway does not have to be the peak success.
Right.
Success or like epitome of success.
Yeah.
Cause that's what I saw as like my the final move or whatever. Like when I book Broadway, like I will be happy.
You're like, that's the final step. I'm like, I've made it. That's it. And then what?
Then what? Yeah. Right? It's like, yes, people on Broadway are incredibly successful. They're incredibly talented, but like what's after that? Right. Yeah. It's just going to be the next thing to top. And so it's like my piece of advice for actors and performers, find happiness before you are at the top, you know, like find happiness, seek happiness, seek passions and opportunities and creative outlets that are going to lead you there. Not like you're not there yet.
Yeah.
You're not there yet.
And then what if you get there tomorrow? Then what?
Exactly. Sometimes
then that's depressing as hell. Yeah, sometimes like the next day,
it's like a disservice, honestly. Yep. Sometimes if you like hit your idea of success too soon, then there's like this false reality of like, oh, well, I should book this because I've already booked this. Yeah. Or like, I should be at this point because I was already at this point. It's like, it looks different for everyone.
Right. Take a seat and take a bite of humble pie real quick.
Take a seat, take a sip of wine, you know, just chill.
Yeah.
Enjoy the ride, you know?
I love that. It's honestly really good advice. I think everybody can take that and apply it to their every career, every passion. Like that's just so, so true. And I learned that from my time in music as well.
Yeah.
It's like enjoying the process. Cause honestly, by the time an album comes out, that music's 2 years old to you.
Right. You're on to the next project.
You're on to the next. So you got to enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. If you're always just looking for like the album drop and like that's the high you're trying to like go for or whatever, it's like,
it's so fleeting.
It goes away
in 2 seconds. And it's like, even the people, you know, you look at like the Oscars or the Grammys, like they win an award and then guess what? They're on to the next thing.
Facts.
You think they're like relishing in that and like taking years to just be like, I got this award.
Mm-mm.
No,
not at all.
They're producers, they're managers. Okay, on to the next.
Yeah.
Like take a
second.
They
were already on to the next before they got the award.
Yeah.
So like the good people, the people who are like enjoying their lives.
Right.
Yep.
It's like, what's the point?
Yep.
What's the point if you can't like embrace where you're at?
Yeah. I think you guys are really good at that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We try.
I love that. I think you are. Okay. So I have a couple more questions. So you mentioned you have a little golden doodle pup, which we know. So Dandy is her name.
Dandy.
Little baby Oliver as well. So you got a full house.
Yes.
And a myriad of artistic opportunities and things that you've created for yourself. How do you find moments of calm and self-care amidst a busy and fulfilling life?
Oh my gosh. I'm still working on it, to be honest. Like, I think the one thing that I really look forward to every morning is my cup of coffee. Mm. And Douglas is so sweet. He brings me a cup of coffee. He usually gets Ollie in the morning. So I feel like I have like that 30 minutes of just like kind of chilling.
Love that.
Before. And I just really try to.
How do you take your coffee? Tell us the deets.
Black.
Just black coffee?
I just drink a black.
And then you're
it's
just
so boring.
Just what? Drinking it in bed or like what?
Drinking in bed. I don't usually finish my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, heat it up probably 4 times throughout the day. Like, what is it? Every mom knows, like, they put it in the microwave, you forget about it. And then, like, at dinner time, you're like, oh, there's my coffee that to heat up.
You got to get you an Ember mug.
I know. I got to get that.
That's what that is right over there.
Oh, I need to get
love
that.
Love it.
Okay.
I love it. It's the only way I'm able to, like, actually finish.
No, I should
and
get
I don't
that.
Have a kid. So, like, I can only imagine. So.
I should get that. But that's like, my moment of kind of, like, calm. And during that time, sometimes I'll do, like, a list or I'll, you know, look at the news or scroll, whatever is like mindless and just whatever. And then at nighttime, I feel like it's like the beverages, you know, at nighttime I either have like a mocktail or like a glass of wine and I just kind of like wind down. And, I used to be really good at journaling. I really want to get back into that because I feel like I was the most in tune with my thoughts and ideas and goal setting and, those are like my things that I like to indulge in. I really love thrifting, which is like kind of random, but I feel like that's a creative outlet that sometimes
it's another way you curate your life. Yeah.
Like it's a lot more fun to do without a toddler.
Yeah.
It's like, as
you're like, just like going little by little through stuff. I can't imagine that's a little exhausting with.
Yeah. He likes to pick a car, like a little toy every time we go, which is that's like the trade-off.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's a 90 cent, you know, car.
But you got like what? 20 minutes, 30 minutes maybe?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it. Tops.
That's it.
But you better thrift fast.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, got to go through those dresses. But
those are great. Yeah. I think finding the little ways to find moments to yourself is going to be important. And you're in a season right now where like, I mean, you have a toddler, like those moments are going to be far and few between. Yeah. That's okay.
Oh, his nap time. I forgot to say, I love to cook. I love cooking during his nap time.
You've been doing a lot of that. Yeah.
That's like my, it's like therapy to me. That's something that
even
I
like
didn't.
Baking too.
I like love it. I love it.
It's so cute.
Never thought I would like baking or cooking, but I love it. I look forward to it when he goes down for his nap.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is really incredible. I cannot say the same. I like hate it.
You never know. Like when you have a kid, you might, it might maybe. Be like an outlet that you're like, this is like a creative
thing. Yeah. And like, how can I feed them? Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's really sweet watching them enjoy the food you make. You know?
Oh yeah. Really we'll special. See. Yeah. That's cute. I really like that. Yeah. Okay. So my last question.
Yeah.
What role does curiosity play in your life?
I think that growth mindset, like I was saying, like, I feel like to grow, you have to be curious. Mm-hmm. You have to keep asking questions, keep challenging yourself, your ideals about yourself, about the world. Lately, I feel like I've been really randomly curious about the medical world, the medical field and like medical justice. I don't know. I've watched a couple documentaries and was listening to a podcast on the way here that was like really interesting. And I don't know if it's because, you know, I have been through pregnancy and a C-section. I just think like it's really interesting to me.
Fascinating.
But yeah, I think continuing to like educate yourself and stay aware of the world. And of course, like sometimes too much curiosity can lead to like toxic, you know, stress about the world and burdens that you don't need to bear, right?
Like over-obsession.
Over-obsession or like over-worry or anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I think like a natural level of curiosity and like wanting to grow and learn is really important and imperative.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Okay, well, that is all my questions. That's Would you like to tell everyone, the Curious Cuties, where to find you so they can connect with you? And shout yourself out.
Okay, well, you can find me on Instagram at Annabelle the Fox. I like to post a lot of fun family stuff and aesthetic stuff, cottagecore, prairie vibes.
And your musical theater things.
And my musical theater things, which I'll be posting a lot more of that. And you can also follow Johnny and the Devil's Box, our musical on Instagram. It's just Johnny and the Devil's Box. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got to be here. I know. I was so excited that you said yes. I was like, oh my gosh, Annabelle's going to be a great guest. So I know Curious Cuties are going to love listening to this. Cool. So thank you for being on.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers. And thank you everyone for listening. We love you guys. Stay curious. And until next time.